The basic command of loving God and loving neighbor are united. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40, we find Jesus responding to some Pharisees who ask him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Sort of a trick question. By responding, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. This is the Shema Yisrael that we talked about two presentations ago. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, Matthew has Jesus say, hang the law and the prophets. In other words, this summarizes everything. So devotion to God and love for one's fellow human person. Now the problem with Jesus' sayings as a norm for morality for Christians is that he says a lot of other things as well, and many of them are quite disturbing. So Jesus issues demands of discipleship that require a radical renunciation of parents, of property, and of marriage. Now I'll take up this radical edge of Jesus' teaching in our next presentation. For now, we simply add to Torah the sayings of Jesus as a norm for Christian morality. The third norm to which Christians have appealed for their moral teaching is the experience of the Holy Spirit that is consequent on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The Spirit was thought to be not only a source of life, but also, if you will, an illumination or an enhancement of consciousness that enabled one to live in a certain fashion. Paul says in Galatians, if you live by the Spirit, then also walk by the Spirit. He uses the term there, which could actually be translated in Jewish terms as let the Spirit be your norm for your life. In this regard, both virginity and martyrdom, which are very important ways of using the body in early Christianity, can be seen as specific ways in which the Holy Spirit leads people to witness to the resurrection. If one says, I will remain a virgin or celibate, I will not engage in active sexual life, I will not have children, but out of my commitment to God, I will remain celibate, one is testifying to the power of God to give life beyond biological regeneration, clearly. And the same thing is true of martyrdom. If I am willing to give my life in witness to a truth, this is connected in early Christianity to a belief in the resurrection, that God is able to bring others from the dead as he raised Jesus from the dead. And so even Jesus' death is seen as this kind of martyrdom or witness. But even in more ordinary life, in the life that Christians live together, the Holy Spirit was regarded as a sort of guide that enabled Christians to understand how to make decisions. So Paul tells the Corinthians that they have not received the spirit of this world, but they have received the Spirit of God to enable them to understand the things that God has given them. And he concludes that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 by saying, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, there is a certain mindset or way of thinking that is that of Jesus himself that Christians are able to interiorize or internalize and live in that fashion. So the pattern then of behavior is one that is in imitation of Jesus. Paul says, if you live by the Spirit, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. This pattern of the Messiah, what is that pattern? It's the pattern of radical love. Jesus was radically obedient to God and gave his life in service to others as a gift to others. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. So to think like Jesus, if you will, is to be somebody who thinks in terms not solipsistically or selfishly, not in terms of one's own project, but in terms of the larger good of the community, a form of altruism.